like unchecked dandelions, improper payments increased for a fourth straight year in 2016. Despite the $7 billion increase over the year before, David Mader, the former Office of Management and Budget Controller, said there's good reason for the steady increase. Mader, who joined Deloitte at the end of January after spending the last 2 years at OMB, tells executive editor Jason Miller why he believes agencies are actually making progress in addressing improper payments, even with the totals rising to $144 billion.
The percentage of improper payments went up this year in 16. As well as the total dollars. But when you sort of look at it over time, and I take us back to the beginning of the Obama administration, actually, if you look at 2009 and you look at 2016, it's actually the percentage is lower while the dollars are higher. The one thing I think we've achieved in the last 2+ years is a much better understanding of the composition of improper payments. What is actually driving a payment to be improper? And, you know, when I came in, we only had like 3 categories that you could classify a payment as why it was improper. We now have 13 categories, and agencies now are required. They were actually starting in FY15. So it gives us a better sense of understanding. And if you remember, one of my last hearings in December was with Chairman Meadows and Ranking Member Connolly, where we talked about improper payments. And in that hearing, what they, and this is why it's important for administrations to testify, they do understand within that number, an improper payment could be, I forgot to fill out the form correctly. If I'm a medical provider, I didn't complete the form correctly. If that particular case gets pulled for the sample and the form's not filled out correctly, it is technically, based on a decision that was made by OMB in 2006, that it's improper. What they want to know and where OMB is focused right now is trying to understand better what's really fraud. You know, what payment should not have been made or it was made in the wrong amount. Now, some of those other, you know, administrative kinds of errors allows us then to start looking at business processes, looks at technology. You know, can we better use technology so that a healthcare provider uses some kind of electronic device to get the form right the first time. And that allows us then to really focus on the loss to the government. So, you know, the challenge that Chairman Meadows and Congressman Connolly gave me when I left in December was, and for the new OMB director, is tell us how much is really fraud and then tell us what we, the Congress, need to do in order to give you the tools to reduce that amount of, you know, actual fraud and improper payments. And there's a lot that we have done in the last couple of years around requesting legislative changes. There have been, you know, since FY14, probably in every president's budget, dozens of program integrity initiatives where we need legislative, either new legislation or legislative tweaks. And I think that, you know, the Trump administration now sort of has a good roadmap and, you know, is going to, I think, be effective in working with the Congress to get some of those legislative changes made. You know, I'll give you a for example. You know, Treasury has this Do Not Pay Center that is basically the filter that payments flow through before they are made to the recipient. Well, it's interesting. One of our good data sources is the Social Security Death Master File. Because of a legislative restriction, Treasury can't have access to the full Death Master File. They basically have to buy a commercial version that's available to, let's say, credit bureaus. You know, we've been asking for that legislative fix. We need to get, you know, different authorization committees together to say, yes, let's change the Social Security Act so Treasury actually can have access. And there are lots of examples. And I think that sort of reinforces my underlying point. We know a lot more in 2017 than we did when I came to OMB in the summer of 2014.
Has OMB been able to get a sense before you left of how much is improper versus how much is administrative?
That was one of the questions that both the chairman and the ranking member, you know, asked me multiple times. And the answer is we don't know today, but I think we're on the path now to better understand that. And I think the other thing that we understand now is a lot of the payments, and I'll use Medicaid payments, which are basically block grants to states, and states administer those programs. Even though we measure, our inspector generals measure those improper payments, It's really the state process. So we started working back in October, November of 16 with GAO to start thinking about how do we better leverage, like, let's say, the state controllers and the state auditor generals in helping us and helping themselves eliminate improper payments. And there's been some interesting initiatives, particularly Department of Labor, where they pulled together a series of some of the larger states to build a collaborative fraud center to work on fraud around unemployment insurance. So I think, Jason, the message is we're a lot smarter in 16 and 17 than we were 3 years ago. And I think, again, we've sort of laid a path forward for the new director of OMB to continue to move this forward. And I think the other thing we understand is there's no silver bullet to this. There's no one solution. To me, it's a combination of how do I better use technology? How do I re-engineer my business process? How do I better use data analytics on the front end? Because as we both know, you know, once that payment's out the door, the chances of you recovering it are minimal. So the key is how do you move all of these checks and process improvements to the front end of the process, but at the same time, ensuring that the citizens who are entitled to that payment get the payment promptly. And that's the challenge.
What should the next OMB controller really know? What would you tell them if you got a call, which I'm sure you will, from the next OMB controller? Are you able to tell us that you would tell them?
One of the things that I would recommend to my successor is the need to be inclusive, you know, across OMB. You know, OMB has a management side and it's a budget side. You really can't be successful on either side unless you work together as a team. And I also think that goes true to the CFO community. You can't get things done without involving those departmental CFOs. I think it's important, especially in this age of technology, I'll sort of steal this phrase of show up. You know, you can't rely on emails and directives from on high. You need to personally go see people. You need to visit agencies. I had made it, you know, my 90-day plan that I was going to go out in my first 90 days and meet everybody in OMB and every single CFO, not ask them to come to OMB, but to actually go out there and meet with them and with their team to understand their mission, to understand their challenges. I also think engaging inspector generals and GAO and the Congress, the staff and the members, are critical to getting anything done in this town. And I think being transparent and straightforward and setting very aggressive timelines and monitoring the progress. I mean, people that I work with sort of joke that I sort of live and die by Microsoft Project. You have to have the discipline to monitor things, to measure things, to get things done. And I also think, you know, as a leader, as a controller, you need to lead from the front. And I think for agency CFOs, and, you know, a lot of the CFOs will come in from the private sector without previous government experience, and I actually think that's good. My advice to them is quickly to gain a deep understanding of the agency mission, what the priorities are, what the risks are. You can't, as a CFO in a department, manage from spreadsheets. I think you also need to earn a seat at the table. As the CFO, you need to be objective, strategic. You need to be that neutral third party. You need to ask the hard questions. You know, you need to ensure that your day-to-day financial management responsibilities are running smoothly and use shared services to get that done so you free up time. But you need to focus on the big picture. And I think the most important thing for all leaders coming in is they need to personally take the time to recruit and to develop the next generation of leaders. And you need to challenge these new leaders every day. You can't hold them back.
That's Dave Mader, the former OMB controller for the Obama administration and now chief strategy officer for the civilian sector at Deloitte Consulting. We'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.